Good to see all of you. You know, we are starting a brand new series this morning called Found Favor. And one of the things that I've found for many people is there's a struggle that we have with being able to just face life with confidence. I know sometimes we could put up the facade, right? Like we have it all together, like we're strong, like we're believing in what's going on. But sometimes inside there's just so much uncertainty. And sometimes this uncertainty can exist because of just things that have happened in our lives. Maybe we've gone through some traumatic experiences, some tragic experiences. Maybe we've been let down by people. And that racks the confidence that we have. And sometimes it does damage that's even unforeseeable by us. It's so much deeper than we even recognize. And so there's this issue of just being able to face life and deal with life with confidence. And then not only that, living in the times that we live in, it doesn't seem to me that the economy is turning around, no matter how much they say it is, because I'm still talking to people that are still struggling, people that are losing their jobs. It's just amazing how times are going on right now. And people really are. They are struggling with confidence. And so in looking at this issue, because I think one of the elements that helps us when we face life, because one of the things that I have found is that life is big, and it's a lot bigger than me. No matter how much I think I'm in control, life can tend to remind me that I'm not, right? Have you had that experience as well? And it just seems those moments continue to creep up on us in our lives. And it's great when you have that support system that is there that gives you that kind of confidence to face life. It makes a huge difference. And the way that you're just able to deal with things, the way that you're able to anticipate things, the way that you're able to plan for things, and even when things happen in life that are unforeseeable because you have that support system, it just gives you that strength to be able to face whatever it is that may be coming at you. There was a summer storm that it hit, and this was in the Midwest, you know, so this is like a, you know, one of those real storms. Because I know in California, we get storms, right? But sometimes, you know, people from the Midwest, they come out and they see what we call a storm and kind of laugh at us. Because if you're from the Midwest or if you're from the South, you know what a storm is. And so this was one of those kind of storms, thunder, lightning. And there was a little boy who was getting ready to go to bed. And he's kind of freaked out by everything that's going on. And so his mom comes in and to tuck him in to comfort him. And she gives him a kiss on the forehead. And he says, Mom, can you sleep with me tonight? And she gives him a big hug. And she says, no, honey, I have to sleep with Daddy. And she gives him another kiss. She stands up. She starts to walk out of the room. And she hears her son whisper in his whisper, big sissy. It's nice to know that we can have those people that we can just be able to face things with. Another example of something that happened with me, this must have been about 4 years ago. It was the first time I went to camp with this group called Young Life. And anyone that knows me knows that I struggle with a fear of heights. Now, going to camp has helped me to face that, but sometimes it still kicks in. You can ask my wife, who had to talk me down from the roof this week. It just kicks in sometimes. But I had gone, and it was my first camp, incredible experience. And so there was this one point where we had to do, it's called the tower. It was toward the end of the week. And the tower is about, I would say, maybe about 50 feet high. I mean, it's huge. And of course, you're strapped in. It's safety and everything. And it's designed like a big Lincoln log. There's all these logs together. And so you climb this, and it's designed in such a way that it could either be as difficult as you want, because there are logs that just kind of hang by rope that you can climb that, or there's a rope. I mean, it can be as difficult as you want, or it can be as easy as you want it to be. And so on this trip, my first trip with camp, I was on the bus, and I met this kid named Angel. And Angel was in the eighth grade going into the ninth grade, and it was great. I mean, on our, you know, it was like a nine-hour bus ride, so we really had a chance to hang out and talk in between iPods and movies. But we got to know each other. And so it was a foundation was laid between us that was really cool. And so we had gone through that week. We had hit the ropes course. And one of the things that Angel and I had in common was he also was deathly afraid of heights as much as I was. And so we tried to encourage him to go on a ropes course. He was having none of that. Didn't go on a ropes course. So now we're at the tower. It's a 50-foot thing. And I could see it in Angel's eyes because I know exactly what I was thinking. And I decided to be the good leader, knowing that I'm pretty safe because, of course, Angel didn't go on the ropes course. And so I decided to be the good leader, and I say, hey, Angel, if you go, I go, knowing he's not going to go. But then I hear those words, okay. I was like, well, wait a minute. And I realized I had just wrote a check with my mouth that now my body has to cash. And so, of course, so we decided to do it. And there is, you know, the way this course is designed is there's safety measures. And so there's a person that belays you. And if you're unfamiliar with mountain climbing and stuff like that, a person that belays you is someone that holds a rope. You're harnessed into the rope. The rope can hold your weight. And there's also other countermeasures that are there as well. But I started looking around the people that are doing the belaying, and I see the guy that I want to belay me. And I go over and I start talking to him, and this guy's like 6'3", between 225, 250. So we're talking like, man. And then on top of that, to find out he played linebacker for the University of Alabama, I was like, oh, you're my guy. You're going to be the one that belays me. So I'm standing there, and I'm kind of waiting. And, you know, we're all waiting our turn, and I turn my head and someone gets in before I can get in. And so that person's going. So now I'm waiting for that person to go. And so I'm waiting for all the high school kids to go as well. And then there's this one girl that walks over to me and she says, are you ready? And I was like, I'm kind of waiting on him. And I'm telling you, she's like 5'2", 100 nothing pounds. The exact opposite of the person that I wanted to belay me, right? And she said these words. She said, do you trust me? Which is a challenge, because what you really want to say is no, right? But then you also don't want to look like the wimp to this 5'200. So I was like, yes. And also this week, one of the commitments that I had made is no matter what, I was going to go for it. But she could see that I was still struggling. And so I start climbing up the apparatus, and she says, look, I want you to be confident in what you're doing. So here's what I want you to do. Before you get too high, I want you to just kind of let go. And then you'll see that I can hold you. So I climb up a little bit, I let go, and it's fine. So I'm thinking, okay, great, she's got me. So then I start climbing. Finally, I get to the top. And I look around, and this is my Himalaya moment, like I've conquered the world. And then I look over, and there's Angel coming up. So I reach over, pull Angel up. So we both have done it together. We've conquered this fear together. And we did, you know, the happy dance on top and everything. It was great. And then there was the fact that you had to jump off, which was even scarier. But what made it possible for both of us to do it was to know that we were going to do it together. There's something about that. When you have that kind of support system to give you that confidence that, again, no matter what it is that you're facing, that we can conquer this and that we can do this together. Now, the Bible talks about this. The Bible talks about that God wants us to have this kind of confidence, to know that God is going to be with us, that God is going to help us when we go through those kind of moments in our lives. And there's a term that the Bible has for that kind of confidence, and it's God's favor. It's God's favor. And the whole idea behind God's favor is that it's a commitment to not only do I have a relationship with you, but it's more of I'm going to pour myself into you. I'm going to pour my heart into you. I'm going to pour my vision into you. It's the same kind of favor that Heidi and I experienced when we saw Tensai and Millennium for the first time. We hadn't even met them yet, but we saw the kids that we were going to adopt. We had gotten their picture, and we saw that. We saw the kids that we were going to adopt, and at that point, they were ours. We had already made that decision. And from that point, we had made a commitment that we were going to invest our love, our passion, our dreams, our goals, our finances to help them to become the people that God had created them to be, to take advantage of the opportunities that maybe God would give them when we adopted from Ethiopia. But that was the commitment that we had made. And so it's been awesome to see the development that has happened in their lives and what God is already doing. But that's the whole idea behind favor, is that God sees you. He sees who you are. And God decides, I'm going to make an investment into you when you step into your relationship with me. And my desire is to pour my favor all over you. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us. Circle that. God loved us and chose us. Circle that as well. You're going to do a lot of circling in this verse. Just to give you a heads up. And chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. I love that. God decided in advance, circle that, that God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. Circle that. He wanted to bring you into his family. And I love this part. And it gave him great pleasure. Circle that as well. Great pleasure. So now look at the things that you've circled. Chosen, loved, adopted, great pleasure. I mean, you look at all of these things, and it really communicates just the value that God has for you. He really does want to pour himself out on you. He really does want to pour his favor out on you. It's not like God is stuck with you. You know how being stuck with someone, you know how that is, right? You marry into a family, and there's Aunt Bunny. And you know Aunt Bunny, right? She's the one that comes to ruin all the Christmas parties because she drinks too much. And then she has a mustache that smells like salami. You know Aunt Bunny, right? But this is different. This is not God saying, I'm stuck with you. This is God saying, I've chosen you. I have reached out and I have chosen you. I have brought you into my family. And so the result is the same idea that God has, or that we had when we brought Tensai Millennium into our family. This is the same idea that God has for you. I want to bring you into my family. And when I bring you to my family, I want to pour my favor all over you. And so this brings us to the main point that we're going to be looking at today. You can write this down in your notes. And that's simply this. I am made for God's favor. I am made for God's favor. And so what we're going to do this week is we're going to look at favor. And we're going to talk about just the implications that it can have for our life. And then next week, Pastor Billy is going to talk about part two of this series. He's going to wrap the series up for us, and then we'll be going into our Christmas series. But he's going to wrap this up for us, and he's going to talk about, now that Ken has looked at favor and what it is and the implications for our lives, this is how we walk in it. This is how we put ourselves in a position where we constantly experience God's favor in our lives. And some of you may be saying, well, Ken, I've been wanting that. I've been asking for that. I've been seeking God's favor in my life. Because I want to have the confidence of knowing that no matter what it is that I face in my life, whatever it is I deal with in my life, I want to have the confidence of knowing that God's going to walk through with it. He's going to walk through it with me. I want that confidence in my life. So Ken, why don't I have it? Why don't I experience it? And so we're going to look at some things in our lives that may hinder us from being able to experience that favor as we talk about what favor is. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 5 through 6, it says, for the Lord God has said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. In other words, you're stubborn. You're stubborn, hard-headed, knuckleheads. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. So basically, this is God saying to Israel, I'm fed up. I've had enough. I've had enough. You go your way. I'm going to go my way. Now, some people will look at that and go, ooh, that's kind of harsh from God, isn't it? But here's the thing that I want to talk about is this. And here's the first point. Sin blocks the favor of God. Sin blocks the favor of God. Now, sometimes people will hear this and go, oh, no, here it comes. I'm going to burn, right? I want to make this really clear because we all make mistakes. And I'm not talking about those mistakes that we fall into. What you're going to see when we talk about sin is we're really talking about an attitude. We're talking about an attitude that keeps us distant from God. We're talking about an attitude that rather than relying on God, what we're doing is we're looking for the next best thing. What's the next best solution that comes along? I'll give God a try, but if there's a better solution that comes along, I'm going to turn to that. And sometimes when we turn to those other things, it causes us to make mistakes in our lives, and it causes us to make mistakes that we go back and we deeply regret, and we have guilt because of it. So I'm talking about an attitude sometimes that can exist. And we saw that. If you go back and you read through the history of the people of Israel, you will see that God would deliver them, and then they would rebel, and then he would deliver them again, and they would rebel, and he would deliver them again, and they would rebel. I mean, it was just a constant pattern, a constant struggle. And so God was just kind of, he was, same thing you and I would be, fed up. He was fed up with their attitude. Because here's what happened, is that at one point, the Hebrews, the Israelites, they were slaves in Egypt. And they were treated cruelly. And so they would cry out to God. Because an example of the level of cruelty that they were treated with is the Egyptians were afraid, because the Hebrews were growing so quickly, they were afraid that they would again outgrow them and then take over the country. And so Pharaoh issues this decree and says to the midwives of the Israelites, of the Hebrews, for every baby boy that is born, we want you to kill him. I mean, that's the level of cruelty that existed, that they were being treated with. And so they were crying out to God. And so God hears it and says, okay, so he sends in Moses. And of course, you know, we're familiar with that. If you watch The Prince of Egypt, our Ten Commandments, let my people go. We're familiar, you know, with the story, the ten plagues, the whole thing, and then they're delivered, the Red Sea, it parts, they're crossed, and God, I mean, God is doing miracle after miracle after miracle. And then, you know what happens? Rather than being grateful, they complain. They complain, I'm hungry, feed me. It was better in Egypt. Now think about that. The place you complained to get out of, you're now saying it was better. But do you know what the reality is? How many of us are like the Egyptians? God, get me out, get me out, get me out. And now you're out. Oh, it was better then. We have, what is it, selective amnesia? And we forget how bad it really was? And we want to go back to Egypt? But that was the attitude. And so, God, we're hungry. So God provides miraculous food called manna for them. And rather than being satisfied with that, they complain more. So then God brings quail. The sky rains quail down. They complain with that. Now we're thirsty. God provides water miraculously. They complain with that. Because why? Rather than trusting in this God that had provided miracles and constantly worked for them, what were they doing? They were looking for the next thing. They were looking for the next thing. Evidence of that. Moses takes off because God says, I want to have an encounter with you. And now they feel like Moses has gone too long. So what do? They build a golden calf to start worshiping. Which I think is kind of odd. Because for me, if someone's missing, I don't build a golden calf. I kind of go look for them. That just makes sense to me. But see, they weren't looking for what Moses had to offer. They weren't looking for what God had to offer. They wanted the next best thing. So, hey, let's build this thing. And so finally, God was just fed up. He was fed up. Now, some people would say, well, I mean, isn't God supposed to, like, hang in there? And God is sending them away? I believe it's really a statement of grace. I think God was showing them grace. Because God is saying, look, because of your attitude and the way that you guys are acting, if you stay with me, I'm going to destroy you. So I just think it's better for you to go over there. I practice the same parenting method with my children. I do. Because, you know, I love my kids, and I'm sure that you do too. But kids have this tendency sometimes of doing the same thing over and over and over again, no matter how much you tell them not to do it, right? And then you ask them, why did you do it? And they give you the famous answer, right? I don't. Exactly. Which, of course, drives you bonkers, drives you crazy. And so there are times where I can just feel like I'm at my boiling point. So what I will do, because I love my kids, and I don't want them to experience the tea kettle whistling over the top. So what I will do is I will say to them, it is best that you leave my face right now as quickly as possible. So go in your room and think about what you did, because daddy needs a timeout. But why do I do that? I do it because I love them. I don't want to unleash my wrath on my kids. So what's the best thing for me to do? Separate, right? Give me an opportunity to calm down. Give me an opportunity to just kind of just breathe, count sheep, whatever I need to do. And so I believe that this is what God was doing. He was actually showing them grace. He was actually showing them mercy by doing this. And so I want to ask you this, because here's the thing, is when God walks away because of sin in our lives, because of the attitude of sin in our lives, not only does he leave, but his favor leaves with him. And so what I want to encourage you to do is just to ask yourself, is there an attitude in my life where I'm dissatisfied with what God does, where I'm always looking at the next thing, where I'm trying to find fulfillment outside of him, and as a result of that, I continue to make all these terrible choices. Maybe I'm making terrible choices financially, cheating, stealing, lying. Maybe I'm making terrible choices morally, but I'm looking at all of these things for fulfillment, and maybe that's why you've lost God's favor in your life. So I just want to, and again, I'm not trying to guilt you, but I just want you to just kind of sit back and examine and ask God this. God, what is it? What is it in my life that is causing me to lose your favor on my life? What is it? Show that to me. Reveal that to me. And he will. And he will. Why? Because again, it goes back to what I was saying before. You were made for God's favor. You were made for God's favor. In Ecclesiastes chapter 33, verse 12 through 14, it says this. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." So, okay, God, if fine, I get why you're upset. I get it. So if you're not going to go, who's going to go with us? That's all I need to know. Who's going to go with us? "You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me," and I love this, "teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And I love this. "The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So you see the transition there that happens? And here's the reality. When my kids come to me, and we teach our kids, when our kids mess up, we teach our kids to actually come to us and say, "Dad, will you forgive me?" And to tell us what they're being forgiven for. We teach them that. But there's something about that. When my son or my daughter, you know, when they come to me and they express that, and there is a genuineness to their brokenness, you know, your heart softens. Because you recognize, wow, they get it. They get it. Absolutely, I'll forgive you. Absolutely. And I think God realizes, Moses gets it. He gets it. But that brings us to this point. God's favor is to fulfill his purpose. God's favor is to fulfill his purpose. See, I think that that's why so many of us miss out on God's favor in our lives. Because we think of God's favor as a rubber stamp. God, here's my plans. Okay, stamp. Or, God, just write the blank check on what it is that I want to do. We think that. And so then what happens is when things don't work out, we begin to become angry with God because we thought that God's favor was upon this. When in reality, we didn't find out what God's plan was. We made a plan and then asked God to co-sign on it. That's the reality of it. And so what happens, and I think this is so important for us to understand, that if God's favor is here, and yet our plans are here, then there's no way we're going to experience God's favor. There's no way we're going to experience God's favor. His favor is for his purpose. So what I need to do is I need to make sure that my life then is in line with the purpose of God and what God wants me to do with my life. And I know for some of you in this room, you think that that's kind of a scary thing because God's going to call me to go to Timbuktu, and I don't speak Timbuktukan. right? God's going to call me to do something I don't want to do. And here's the truth. He might. He might. But remember, we just went through this series called The Power of a Whisper. And in this series, remember how we talked about that typically what God does is God has been working in you, God has been wiring you, God has been preparing you, God has been getting you ready, God has been giving you gifts, talents, and abilities. And so odds are, whatever it is that God calls you to do is going to match how you are wired. And you will find incredible fulfillment in what it is that God asks you to do. You will. So the challenge is to get to a point, because it's not God's favor that has to move, it's operating, it's working. It's that we have to move to where God's favor is. And you can see this. That's what Moses says. Moses says, you know what, God, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Teach me about you so that I may know you. And if I know you, I will know what your favor is, and I will walk in that favor. And it will continue to become a greater reality in my life. So here's what I want to encourage you to do, is just look at your prayers. What do you pray about? Are your prayers really focused on you and your own agenda? Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to pray about the things that are going on in your life. Please, please do that. God welcomes that. But I wonder how many of our prayers are like Moses' prayers. God, I want to know you so that ultimately I can effectively really be able to lead these people. I cannot lead these people, God, without you. I cannot fulfill your purpose without you. So, God, I need you. I want to know you. So that as a result of that, God, I am walking in your favor. That's what I want in my life. So begin to look at your prayers. And if they're not about what God desires in your life, if you're not asking God, what have you wired me to do to make a difference? How have you wired me to count? And again, this is something at Church of the Cities we talk about over and over and over and over and over again. And we're going to continue to talk about this. Because the reality is, the only way that I can really experience God's favor is I must make the commitment to be where God is. And that's why we talk about this stuff. It's because we want you to be where God is. We want you to experience him. Because there's something deeper that comes as a result of being where God is. But you get a chance to be a part of the incredible. I mean, where God is, that's where renewal is happening. That's where healing is happening. That's where restoration is happening. That's where creation is happening. That's where discovering is happening. That's where life change is happening. That's where brokenness is happening. That's where addictions being broken is happening. That's where lives being restored is happening. That's where God wants you to be, because that's what God wants you to experience. And there's something about being a part of what God is doing to be able to watch that and know that God used me to be able to do it. So God wants you to experience his incredible favor in your life. Why? Because again, you were made for God's favor. It says in Exodus chapter 33, verses 15 through 17, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with me, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you. And circle this, I know you by name. I know you by name. I mean, that is a significantly intimate statement. And see, here's the thing that I want you to understand too. God's favor is a sign of intimacy. God's favor is a sign of intimacy. So where I am experiencing God's favor, that's where I'm experiencing that deep connection in my relationship with him. So that's why we encourage you to take these steps in your life. Yes, it's important that you make a commitment. Come to church on a regular basis. That, again, is a way for you to be able to grow. Also, we have things that you could do at the church to be able to grow spiritually. We have classes that we offer. Step into those classes. Go through that so that you can grow spiritually and deeper in your connection, in your intimacy, in your relationship with him. So that you can understand what it means to believe in him and the impact that that makes on your life. and how to get even more focused in your relationship with Him. We also offer the opportunity for you to be able to connect with other believers in our community group so that you can build that support. We need that support. We need that support. And then not only that, we constantly encourage you, spend time with God on your own. Pray to Him. Talk to Him. Do those things. That element is an essential element of our lives. But you know what all those things have in common? They're all eating. They're all taking in. Because they're all about me. Now, it's good that we do that. It's important that we do that. But it's all taking in. And so then what God wants to do is God wants to fill you up so now that you can pour out. He wants to fill you up so that you can pour out. When someone is overweight, what do we encourage them to do? Eat right and exercise. Eat right and exercise. Some of us, all we do is take in, so we're spiritually fat. We're spiritually fat. And so what God wants you to do is to get into a place where you are exercising your gifts, your talents, and your abilities. He wants you to get into a place where His favor is. So then you begin to pour out everything that God is pouring into you. And it is amazing what that will do in the lives of people that are around you. And I know for some people, sometimes the struggle is this. I know that God wants to pour out His favor on me. I know that God has chosen me. I know that God has loved me. But does He really know me? I mean, does God really know all the foibles that I've made in my life, all the faults I have, all my shortcomings? Does God know how really messed up I am? And why would He choose me if He knew that? But that's the reality. He knows you. God knew me, and He chose me anyway. He knows you and He chooses you anyway. That stuff in your life does not disqualify you from experiencing God's favor in your life. That's the whole reason why He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. It's so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be renewed, so that you can be restored. And as a result of that, now I step into this relationship with God because the reality is it is not I who qualify me. He qualifies me. Because Moses said, God, I'm not qualified. I committed murder. God, why would you use me? I'm not qualified. And so God says, you know what, Moses, take your staff, throw it on the ground. He throws it on the ground, it turns into a snake. Grab the tail and pick it up, turns back into a staff. He says, Moses, take your hand and stick it in your cloak. Moses takes his hand, sticks it in his cloak, pulls it out, it comes out leprous. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I'm not thinking, you know, it's Michael Jackson's glove, you know. And then he says, stick it back in. He sticks it back in. He pulls it out, and it's completely whole again. It's completely whole again. You know what Moses' response after seeing these miracles? God, I'm still not qualified. Isn't that what we do? I've been guilty of that. God reveals this incredible work in my life. He reveals this incredible talent and what He wants me to do for Him. And I look at Him, and I look at myself, and I think, but God, I'm not qualified. Many of us in this room, we disqualify ourselves from God's favor that He really wants to pour out on us. He knows you. He knows your mistakes. And yet, He's chosen you anyway because your mistakes do not exclude you from His favor. Your mistakes do not exclude you from His favor. That's the reason why Jesus Christ came. We're about to celebrate Christmas, right? The birth of our Savior. That's the reason why He came. It's so that all those things in our life, all those regrets, all those, that can all be forgiven. And we can begin to move forward in our lives and experience His healing, His work in our lives. God's favor is a sign of intimacy. It is a sign that God, I am deeply connected with you. So if you're not experiencing God's favor in your life, because again, why? You were made for His favor. So if you're not experiencing His favor in your life, begin to ask yourself just these questions. Is there things in my life that hinder me from being deeply connected in my relationship with God that God may want me to deal with? Are there attitudes in my life? Are there goals in my life? Are there plans that I have that have deviated from God's plan for my life? And if so, what am I going to do to put my life back on the path where I am experiencing God's favor once again? Because that's what he wants. And ask yourself this, have I disqualified myself? Have I looked at myself and my inconsistencies and my struggles and my shortcomings? And I've disqualified myself because of my guilt. God says, look, I want to know you. I want to know you. I heard a statement the other day, and I thought this was incredible. God believes in you because he knows what he can do. I love that. God believes in you because he knows what he can do. He wants you to know it too. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for moments like this, that we have the opportunity just to reflect on you and who you are and just the way that you desire to reveal yourself to us. God, there is nothing that you want more than for us to know you and know you deeply and be able to walk in a position of our lives where we are experiencing your favor. And so, God, this morning, I just want to pray for each and every single person who is here. God, use this moment, first of all, to pour out your passionate love for them so that they may be able to recognize, I need to make these changes, not because God wants to guilt me to change, but because he loves me too much to allow me to remain the same. And as a result of that, God, that this will be the morning that they will say yes and that they will begin to move forward to experience you, experiencing your work in their lives. And all these things we ask in your name. Amen.